It was thought that no alcoholic man or woman could be excluded from our society, that our leaders might serve but never govern, that each group was to be autonomous, and there was to be no professional class of therapy. There were to be no fees or dues. Our expenses were to be met by our own voluntary contributions. There was to be the least possible organization, even in our service centers. Our public relations were to be based upon attraction rather than promotion. It was decided that all members ought to be anonymous at the level of press, radio, TV, and films, and in no circumstances should we give endorsements, make alliances, or enter public controversies. Period. Now, I think that is a lovely summation of what the traditions are all about in a form that even I could follow. I don't do numbered statements real well, but this kind of led it into it, and I'd like to continue tonight by talking about traditions 11 and 12.
Anonymity, the spiritual foundation of our whatever.
Now, I've been to big book study groups where the topic, even AA meetings, anyone have a topic?
Anonymity. Oh, yeah.
People don't get real chatty on anonymity. Most can't pronounce it, and it just gets real vague, and we don't know what it means. So let's take a look.
Let's take a look, class.
This 12th tradition, the short form, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions.
Yeah.
Ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. What does that mean? What does it mean? Okay. The traditions come out of experience. So if you want to get an idea of why we have a tradition, look for an early glitch in AA history. Look for an early snafu that had a lot of people get drunk and mean over, and you will get an idea of where the tradition comes from. This anonymity business. It has a couple of basic functions. Function number one, it's to protect the fellowship. Anonymity is to protect the fellowship. Why? All right. Early AA history. In Cleveland, of all places, they had a bunch of people get sober real quickly, like 90 days, and they weren't a terribly stable lot. And they went around advertising AA to everybody, and look at me, I'm sober in AA and I'm fabulous. And then one of them got put into the state lunatic asylum and a couple other people. It looks bad on the fellowship when the entire meeting gets shipped into treatment, you know? This protects the fellowship from us and from some of our better ideas. If everybody knew that so-and-so was sober in AA and then so-and-so got drunk, and by everyone I mean Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, if she suddenly gets drunk or he suddenly gets drunk, people conclude the fellowship doesn't work. So number one of anonymity, this protects us. Number two, what are we anonymous about? Not being alcoholics. For most of us, it's a matter of public record that we're alcoholics. Just ask the neighbors, you know? I mean, what we're anonymous about is our membership in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's what we're anonymous about. Your picture could appear on the cover of Time magazine with the caption alcoholic on it. You have not broken a tradition. It's a fine line. We're trying to protect the fellowship so we can do what we need to do. So now we're protecting the fellowship. The anonymity is about our membership. And at what level? At the level of press, radio, films, and TV. That is the level at which anonymity exists. We're supposed to know who each other is. You know, it gets a little, you're in a crisis and you call the operator and you say, hello, I'd like to talk to George with the limp. If she's on the program, she might know who you're talking about, but otherwise, we're supposed to know who each other is. When someone comes up and says, well, Tom, I'd like to break my anonymity, you're not breaking your anonymity. You know, what I always do, I look around the room for where are the press, radio, films, and TV? You know, are we being bugged? I used to think I was bugged a lot. after a little non-habit-forming marijuana, I'd get very nervous. Someone explained to me that paranoia is just total awareness. The other thing, though, about anonymity, and this is this whole second, it does protect the individual. Especially if being an alcoholic, like, you know, what if your alcoholism is not a matter of public record? What if you're in a part of the country where it's a moral issue? And there are parts of these United States in this century where that's still true. You're coming into recovery, you need to be anonymous to protect yourself. So, that, I mean, there are several levels at which anonymity operates. Okay. But again, I'm anonymous about my membership in the organization. What is this business about principles before personalities? AA is an organization that is radically egalitarian. By that I mean everybody gets one vote. And you can be sober for 300 years and talk nonsense. And you can be sober for 3 days and tell the truth. This is not an organization where you get more, necessarily more truthful just because you have more time. Principles over personalities. This is an organization that resists the notion of guru. Gurus don't work. Any one of us could have a little Chablis tonight, you know, and end up engaged to a German Shepherd tomorrow morning. And as they say in Berkeley, the reason AA works is because we're not all crazy on the same day. But we all get to be crazy. And we all get to be wrong. It's guaranteed in the Constitution. You don't become sober and infallible. Okay. I mean, this, again, our lived experience indicates this. Principles get us sober, not personalities. Principles keep us sober, not personalities. Personalities can help, but they can also get in the way. Something is not true because your sponsor says it. Something's not true because I say it. I have been wrong on a regular basis for years. It's one of the things I do well. Things are true or they're not, and the way they're tested is in our lived experience. I mean, I have found myself, someone was telling me this today, the more he's sober, the less he knows. I think that's true. I think that's true for me. The longer I'm sober, the less I know, but I have opinions on everything. And that, which is another tradition, and we'll talk about that a little bit. So I have to make all these basic distinctions between, you know, factual information and my opinions, and sometimes I don't do that very well. Long form of the tradition. And finally, we of Alcoholics Anonymous believe that the principle of anonymity has an immense spiritual significance. That we're equal here. That you could be a cop or a teacher or a student, or a priest, or if you're a drunk, we're all equal here. And who you are and where you're from is none of our business. We're anonymous in this kind of sense that we all get to belong. No one is more of a member than someone else. It reminds us that we are to place principles before personalities, that we are actually to practice a genuine humility. Genuine. A humility that rings true.
I've been to meetings where this is a topic. Let's talk about humility. And everyone talks about how unhumble they are. I'm so proud of it.
Humility means you can tell the truth about yourself. Someone who can tell the truth about himself or herself is a humble person. The lie is pride. Now, again, English is a funny language, and one of the things I always have, as a Catholic priest, I work in a situation sometimes where there's lots of jargon. Words are used a lot, and no one says, excuse me, exactly what are we talking about? You know, could we just talk for a few moments about this stuff? The word pride, there is a sense in which the word pride means dignity and honor and respect, and that's a perfectly legitimate usage of the word, and we need pride in our lives. We can be proud of our recovery, we can be proud of our family, we can be proud about our home group, you can even be proud about your sponsor, maybe. But there's another sense of the word pride, and it is seen in opposition to the word humility. Humility is telling the truth about yourself. If you're real good at something, it's okay to say it.
Unless you're superstitious, of course. Irish, you know? If you say you're good at something, God will get you. You know?
That makes the whole world a happy place to live in. God is portrayed as being very weird in that kind of circumstance. We'll talk about God too later on. Pride. Pride is the lie. Pride tells me that I'm either better than you or I'm worse than you. But we're not the same. The truth is we've got a lot in common. That's the humble statement is there's a lot of my insides that match a lot of your insides. We have differences too, but I'm not better than you and I'm not worse than you. See, what pride does is it isolates. If I am too good for you, then I end up isolated, alone, in my room, figuring it out one more time with a gun in my mouth, you know? If I'm worse than you, we have nothing in common. I end up isolated alone in my room, figuring it out one more time with a gun in my mouth. Both kinds of pride, both kinds of arrogance kill us. And that's why we talk about this as a program in which we try to practice a genuine humility. And the humility is there are times I very much need you. There are times you very much need me. It's give and take. It's not a question of me first, but it is a question of my turn. And like I said, there are times when I'm able to be of service, and there are times I need someone to hold my hand. That's just the way it works, you see?